I'd like to write the title this morning, the message on the board. I've written on the board, but with God. We as people are so limited in so many areas, in so many ways. But with God, our possibilities are limitless. I trust this morning that the message that the Lord inspired me with earlier this week will be an encouragement to you. We live in a 24-hour news cycle. It seems like that, well, it doesn't seem like it, it is. The news is constant, nonstop, always streaming. Seems like that every day, perhaps every hour is the way it's presented, is breaking news that we should be very interested in, or so we're told. And much of the news that is presented, the majority of it, if you go through and look at online at what their run-up is, it's not good news. Most of it is not good news. There's some. But we are under a constant barrage of bad news. We hear about world turmoil. We are told about violence. We are told about, and it's true, it's out there. But we're told about the breakdown of cities and families and those people that fall from grace that maybe at one time were viewed as somebody worth looking up to. We hear about loss of assets and loss of life and loss of relationships, and we are constantly told about all the things that could go wrong too. We don't want to forget that. And if this becomes the bulk of our diet, if this is what makes up the inputs that we allow to come in our hearts and in our minds, it can begin to influence the way that we think. It influences the way we process information. It influences our expectations. And if we're not careful, what happens is that it begins to influence and color the expectations that we have for how things are going to turn out in our very own lives as a child of God, if we're not careful. I'm not preaching against the news this morning. That's not my message. I follow the news too. But this morning, what I do have is I have a message of hope to bring you. That we serve a God that is above all of the circumstances of life. We serve a God whose power is not limited or constrained by the influences that are all around us. Our God's not constrained by that. We serve a God today who has the ability to bend space and time if He so chooses. He is a God that can alter physics and chemistry and math. We say, well, how can that be? Because He's God. I can't do it, but God can do it. The Scripture says that all power is given from heaven and earth to Jesus Christ. That is the one that we serve. And sometimes I think that it would do us well to reflect on who it is that we serve. We serve God. We serve a God who has our best interests at heart. And he is not a God that is up there wringing his hands in distress. He is not a God who experiences dismay that somehow things are spiraling out of his control and that he is no longer able to work. That's not the God that we serve. We serve a God who has all power in heaven and in earth. And to this morning, we as a people have much to hope in. We have much to trust in. We have much to be encouraged about. But are we? Are we encouraged today? Is our hope bright? Do we live life with high levels of expectation that things will turn out well? Well, we often revert to this, and I raise my hand too. Yes, I know he's God, but have you ever said that? I know he's God. I know he has power, but, and I ask myself, well, but what? But what? Do I have a situation that is beyond what God can work with? Have I just now presented God with something that he is no longer able to work and show his power in? I say, well, no, but you know what our next thought a lot of times is? I know from experience. Yes, I know God is willing, but and I know he's able, but is he willing? Is it God's will? I don't really know what God's will is. And so then because we say we don't really know what God's will, we know he's powerful enough, he's able, but I'm not sure what his will is, and it might be that, well, I'm just going to be in this bad spot for the rest of my life, and there's nothing that's going to good that's going to come from that. We can get ourselves in that place if we allow ourselves to. Do we think that God's will is negative? Do you think he wants things to turn out bad for us? Do you think Jesus Christ went and died on the cross and shed his blood and came down from heaven just so that we would all be subjected to all the bad things of life and he would have no power? No. That is not why Jesus came. That is not the power that he came to bring. And it is not the expectation that he wants his people to have in their hearts. He wants us, he desires us to live with expectation. There's another statement of truth that starts with the word but that I'd like for us to think about and internalize this morning. I'd like to read a verse out of Matthew 19 and 26. Matthew 19 and 26 says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them," he beheld them, he saw them, he recognized the need that they were in. They were asking a question and they were scratching their heads and they were thinking, yeah, but given the situation, how can this come to pass? And the Lord beheld them. And he beholds you this morning. God beholds you today. Yes, right where you are. The condition that you are in this morning, the Lord in his love, he beholds you. And he beheld them and he said, with men this is impossible. On the one hand, you're right. If it was left up to just man, yes, this thing right here would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Folks, God's ways are above our ways. We serve a God who has a plan that goes beyond our plan. He sees beyond what we can see. I can't see the plan that he has. In fact, in Isaiah the 55th chapter in the 8th and 9th verse, it specifically said that the Lord said that your ways are not my ways. Do you believe it? Do you believe that this morning? When it says that his ways are not your ways, We say, well, yeah, we believe that. Well, we've said that for years. We preached it. We know it's in the scriptures. We teach our children. We come to, well, of course, yes, we know the Lord, that God's ways are not our ways. But do we accept it? And do we actually believe it? Because you know what we do? You know what is so easy for us to do? As soon as things don't go the way that I think they should go, as soon as I look at a situation and it's distressing and I can't put all the pieces together, we get distressed and we wonder, where is God? And the Lord's wondering, well, where's your memory? I thought you recognized that my ways aren't your ways. Folks, it should not be a surprise to us when we face circumstances in life that are not the way that we would take. It should not be a surprise to us when we face things in life that are outside of what we would design if it were up to us. Because God already told us, I don't think the same way that you do. My ways, they're way up here. You're down here. I see the whole of things. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Right? Isn't that scripture? But what's the end of that way? Life? Happiness? A good end? No. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of what? Of death. Do we believe that? We say we do. And yet we're human. This isn't a message to push us down. This is a message to encourage us. I want to preach where we live. This is where we live. Because we're human. We are apt to quickly allow ourselves to revert to the way that we think. We allow our emotions to be driven according to the way that we see things. And yet the Lord is saying, remember, my ways aren't your ways. Be comforted. Be at peace. Don't be in distress. Don't you remember? I'm not going to do things like you would do them. And yet, as people, when things go awry in our eyes, we become distressed. Have you ever watched an artist, a real artist? I'm not an artist. But I've seen people that know how to draw. And have you ever seen them draw from a blank sheet of paper? I'm not going to try to draw something. And you know they're good, and so you're interested. And all of a sudden they start doing stuff like this. And all of a sudden they're coming up here and they're drawing this line, and then there's something here, and I'm looking at it thinking, I thought they were a master artist. What is this? Why did they make this so thick and dark? It doesn't even seem like it fits with that. And what's the deal with coming over here? Did they just leave this all by itself and you watch? And they just they're not confused, they're not distressed, they're not a real artist. They don't have to think, they just do. And they're just making marks everywhere. This isn't going to turn into anything good. And when you're watching it, all of a sudden, if you give them time, all of a sudden you go, oh, now I see it. Oh, I get it. Oh, there was a reason that seemingly out of place line was there. There's a reason why it seems darker and didn't need to be there than the rest. Oh, now I get why that thing is up there. Now I see. But what do? In life, the Lord is He's the potter. He's the one shaping things for us. He is the one that is endeavoring to get us to heaven. That's His purpose. That's His goal. He wants us to get to heaven. He wants us to have eternal life. And so He's the one that's in charge of putting everything together. But what do we do as people? We fixate on this line. We fixate on this line up here. We don't see how it works with this. We're not the master artist. We're not God. We fixate on this and we say, that's not pretty. We say, this is painful. Why does this have to be here? That's what we do. And if we're not careful and we just allow ourselves to fixate on singular events, we can become so quickly dismayed. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. And I still have to fight it. And it can seem like there's no way out. It can seem like there's no good way out. But the Lord uses all of these things. The things that look unpleasant and hurt and aren't good. And then the things that we wish our life could just be made up. All of this line right here. We like this line. But the Lord is using all of it for a greater good. He has a greater plan that goes beyond what we can see and what we know. Consider the headline. Big, bold, black letters. He is finished. Jesus Christ is dead. Can't you just hear the pundits of today taking that one? Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. At approximately 3 o'clock this afternoon, the man that was called Jesus Christ died on a cross. The man that people had put their hopes in that would bring a kingdom on this earth is now dead. Yes, just like many people thought would be his expected end. There are disappointed people out there, but it is not surprising that he died like every other man. He is finished. This news is breaking. More to come. Well, they got the last part right. More to come. But we think it's done. It's finished. Jesus Christ is dead. And there are people that believed in Jesus, that were heartbroken, and it seemed like their dreams had come apart, and they wondered, Lord, we had thought. Isn't that what the men said on the road to Emmaus? We thought that you were going to be something more than dying like every other man on the cross. But now it's finished. And oh, by the way, somebody heard Jesus himself say, it is finished. So it must all be done. But Jesus was working a plan that was bigger than that. And he wasn't done. And he needed to subject himself to death so that he might overcome death. Death was needed so that eternal life could be gained. The grave was necessary so that a resurrection could take place, not only for Jesus Christ, but that a resurrection could take place for us in our own hearts and our own lives. The story was way bigger than it is finished, Jesus Christ is dead. That was just the very beginning. And yet, because we're human, we can be like the men that were on the road to Emmaus, fixating on the death, fixating on the unexpected outcome, disappointed probably in Christ himself, experiencing loss of faith, not allowing Christ to finish the work that he had in mind. I wonder this morning if there are people here where there are circumstances in your life where it seems like there's some big bold words that declare your final identity, that declare your final outcome, where sometimes we feel like our dreams of happiness and fulfillment are finished. Unattainable. My life is a wreck, and that's the end of the story. Did you know that as human beings, we can get into that place really fast? If that is you today, be willing to step back. Be willing to give God space to work to be able to finish what it is that He has started. He has a plan. And it goes beyond what we can see or what we can comprehend. The Scripture tells us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 6th verse, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith. What's faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things seen? Oh, not seen. The evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is going to be impossible for us to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible for us to maintain peace and rest. The psalmist said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way unto Him and His hands. Commit the way of your loved ones into the loving hand of the Lord. Commit the circumstances of your life that you don't understand and that seem like are pulling you down to a very dark place. Commit that to the Lord. Have faith that allows you to commit even when you don't understand. I'd like this morning to consider a verse that I suppose is one of the, I don't know, maybe one of the most common verses among Christianity. Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. Not our purpose, according to His purpose. And I'd like to make special note of something that I was so impressed with this past week in this verse. It says all, get this, things work together for good. All things. It's not singular. He didn't say all thing. He said all things work together for good. Yet what do? We fixate on the thing. The thing that happens that rocks our boat. That thing in our life that seems like it has destroyed the whole picture of our life. And we focus in on the thing, and yet the Scripture encourages us and says, whoa, wait, before you go there, all things work together for good. The things that seem especially dark and harsh and potentially out of place in our own minds and our own hearts, the Lord uses all of those things to work together for good. We would like to remove all the unpleasant things. We'd like to say, well, I like that, but I don't like this. This looks good up here, but I really don't want that. Because we're human. We compartmentalize our lives. We look at our lives and we say, well, this part in my life is good. I like it. This part over here, we put walls around it sometimes. We don't like that. This part, so-so. This part of our life, it's okay. And sometimes we don't realize they're connected. And we would like to say, I want to get rid of this room. It's all unpleasant. This thing right here, it makes me unhappy. I just want it to go away. If we were to make all the unpleasant things go away, God wouldn't be able to do His perfect work. The picture wouldn't look the same anymore. In fact, the Scripture tells us that the end thereof are the ways of death. And so the Lord asks us to trust Him. He asks us to believe that all things, even though we look at them and they seem the worst possible thing that could happen, The Lord is able to take all things. And if we'll let Him, if we'll have faith, if we'll give Him time, we give Him space, if we trust, then we get to the end of the way where we say, we have that aha moment. Oh, now I see. Now I see what they were doing. Now it all makes sense. No, I wouldn't want to take away the thing that I was so ready to take away. Lord, please, please have Your will. Thy will be done. That's why the Lord instructs us. Pray that way. Believe that way in your heart. Lord, Thy, not my will, but Thine be done. In earth, in my own life, as it is in heaven. Because, Lord, You're God, and You know, and You can work all things together. Have you ever had a spoonful of salt? Salt only, nothing else, salt. Well, I like salt. I eat probably too much salt. I salt before I eat, and then add more salt if it's needed. So I like salt. And I can eat salt if it's maybe just nothing else but just, you know, a little bit on your tongue. I kind of like that. Maybe there's somebody here that also likes that. But how about a spoonful? Does anybody here just really enjoy getting down on a spoonful of salt? Nothing else but salt? No. It's very distasteful. But that same spoonful of salt does wonders when it's mixed together with all other things. And it brings out the richness that is intended to be there. And the Lord knows that. And He knows that in our own lives, that there are some things by themselves, individually, are very distasteful to us. But the Lord's saying, trust Me on this. Let Me know what to insert that may not seem pleasant to you, because I have a plan, and it's a good plan. And it's a plan that tends to life and tends to fulfillment and tends to something that can go on, that has value, rather than the short-term pleasures of this life that appeal to our emotions that one day then disappears. So He asks us to commit. So He asks us to trust Him and believe in Him. Look, I know that we face some very difficult circumstances in life. I've lived long enough to face them myself. Life can bring a lot of pain and hurt, grief, disappointment, and it's real. And it's not to be discounted. And Jesus knows that too. And Jesus doesn't come along and say, oh, stop crying, stop hurting, straighten up. Because He knows how we feel. Jesus cried. He wept with those that were hurting because He felt compassion for them. And the Lord comes and He, if I can say it this way, He weeps and cries with you in your difficult places of life because He cares. And at the same time, He wants to softly encourage us to submit our lives and all of the things in our life that distress us, to submit those things into His hands, that He might bring about something better than what we ever thought possible. I will say this, some of the greatest trials I have faced in life, the hardest places I have faced, led to some of the greatest blessings I've ever received in life from God. And I'd never want to lose those things. And there are other things that have happened in my life where I don't yet see the good in it. I don't see how it can turn out for good. Yet Jesus softly encourages, trust me with all the things. Hold on. Be still. And know that I'm God. There's a verse that says, for now we see through a glass darkly. We don't see the end as the Lord does. And He told us that ahead of time, that we might be prepared. And I want to encourage us all this morning to hold on, to be encouraged, to press on, for one day the Lord will meet you on your Emmaus road, and He'll break the bread of life for you, and He'll open up your eyes of understanding in ways you've never seen before. He'll pray to the Father on your behalf, and He'll leave your heart burning with life in ways you never expected. When? I don't know. That's in the Lord's hands. But I know who's in control of tomorrow. And I know He's above all things. And I know that He is a God who cares and loves us, and He invites us to come. Trust Him with all of the things in our life that are bigger than we are. I'd like to close in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And the 25th verse says, Jesus says gently, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. All the temporal things of life, all the things that will eventually pass away, all of those things encompassed. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? God has a plan that goes beyond the things that we can see with our eyes. And he encouraged him. He says, look at the fowls of the air. They sow not. They're not reaping. They're not gathering into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way, His plan. Let Him do His work. And all of these other things shall be added unto you. This morning, let's look up. Let's look up to our Father, for He is our salvation. May God bless these thoughts to your heart, is my prayer. Amen.